Thank you, worship team. Make sure I'm on. Well, I really appreciate. Oh, yes, there's a children's group. Actually, there's two groups, one downstairs for the, I guess it's four-year-olds. They'll figure it out. there's some downstairs, there's some upstairs. And so they'll sort you as you go through the gate. Yeah, yeah. It's always a joy. It's always a joy to be here with you. I just want to let you know that there was a Mike and Sandra had a vehicle accident yesterday. I did a pretty good bit of damage on their vehicle, but both of them are well. And so praise the Lord for that. So thank you, Lord. I tell you what, they have been such a tremendous addition to our congregation since being here. And we're just, you know, sometimes you look at it as accidents. Sometimes we look at it that the enemy is trying to take out some of God's children. And regardless, God protected them. It was just past the driver's side door where they were hit. And so thank the Lord for that. Thank you for his protection over them. Also, just to keep you up to date on the school, we mentioned the school in May, that it was something that was on my heart. And we have had two ladies come forward and say, that's something we want to do. And we're going to make it happen. We're going to start in September. Hallelujah. And so things are being put together in regards to that. We've got some classrooms upstairs that we're preparing for that. So that's only about 4 weeks away when we start. Okay. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what God's going to do and what God is doing even now, but also what he's going to be doing in the future. This is something that's going to carry on for generations and generations and generations. And the things we do now and establish now is going to affect children, their families, for hundreds of years until Jesus comes back anyway. Okay. And so we just have to keep on doing the work that God has called us to do. I'm so excited about what God's doing, and I'm excited about what is going to take place. Anyway, today we're looking at part three of Who Am I for Heaven's Sake? It's a five-part series. I didn't know how many parts there were going to be when I started. Now I kind of figured it out. It's a five-part series, and we're on part three of Who Am I for Heaven's Sake? It's very important. It's vital for Christians to know who they are, because a lot of times the world puts labels on us, others put labels on us, and we really don't know who we are. We've already studied the part, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a citizen of heaven, a priest of the Most High. You're special and precious to him. You've been chosen. You've been adopted. You've been accepted. You've been redeemed. But that's not all. Okay, that's just a little bit. Today, we're going to look at you are an heir of heavenly things. You are an heir of heavenly things. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, but we're going to skip 4 through 10. So we're going to read 3, then 11 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And I know we did this last week, but I want you to do it again. Turn to your neighbor and say, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is mine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, do any of you have any oddball cousins or family members? Yeah, okay. Well, I have a few. One, and if Grant's listening, I'm not trying to, you know, say anything. But he's just, He's just an odd duck. Okay. And so he was always coming up with these pranks. He was a practical joker. So I don't know how he got these names. And I don't know how he got the letterhead, but he had this formal letterhead from like a lawyer's office. And he picked out certain people in the community and he wrote up a letter inviting them, telling them that their great uncle had left them a part of their inheritance of his estate. And they were supposed to show up at this particular house on a particular date at a particular time. Well, he went by there at that particular time on that particular date, and there were scores of cars in front of this house. And every one of them had a letter in hand presenting it to the owner of the home. And of course, I don't know what happened. I wish I could have gone in and been just to see what was taking place. But everybody who came thought they were going to get some kind of inheritance. I don't know what kind of ruckus took place in that home. But I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. I could go on and on about Grant. He had some stuff going on, buddy. I don't know. His mind just kind of worked different than most folks. So you may have one of those relations, but they're fun to be around. They always have something going on, and it's just, you know how it is. You just love to be around them because of the stories they have and the things that they do. So you are an heir of eternal blessings. You are an heir of heavenly treasures. I want to share with you a few individuals who you may know. Just if you don't, I'm going to let you meet them. The first one is Anderson Cooper. Would you pull that? There you go. He's known as a news anchor, a journalist, but he is the heir to a railroad baron, Cornelius Vanderbilt. His mom, Gloria Vanderbilt, was the baron's great-great-great-granddaughter. And Cooper inherited the majority of her estate when she passed this last June. The value of that estate turned out to be nearly at $1.5 million. So Cooper didn't realize he was going to inherit anything. His mom had already told him on several occasions that he would not have any of that, which motivated him to be a self-starter, to be an entrepreneur, to do things, to go further in a career because he didn't think he would receive anything. And so Cooper now earns approximately $12 million a year. His worth is about $110 million. He says, my mom made it clear to me that there's no trust fund. He also says, I don't believe in inheriting money. I think it's an initiative sucker. I think it's a curse. From the time I was growing up, if I felt that there was some pot of gold waiting for me, I don't know that I would have been so motivated. Isn't that interesting? So Travis Knight is another individual. You may not have heard of him. He's the eldest son of Phil Knight, who founded Nike. He's in charge of a trust that controls over 38 million shares of Nike stock, which is equivalent to a stake worth of approximately $2.3 billion. It's not clear how much he will inherit from his dad, whose net worth is estimated at $33 billion. B as in a B, as in Brad. So, Ariana Rockefeller is worth $2.8 billion. She's the great-great-granddaughter of John D. Rockefeller. She serves on the board of the nonprofit David Rockefeller Fund and owns her own fashion and handbag line. And many of you have what you consider treasures on this earth. Maybe it's in property. Maybe it's in your bank account. Maybe it's in your portfolio. Maybe it's in stocks. And you have already perhaps drawn up a will that's going to leave your heirs a portion of this or all of it. Leaving behind the treasures you have to your grandchildren, to your children, what they do with it, you don't know. But I want you to understand that these treasures that Ms. Rockefeller has, Mr. Cooper has, and everyone else has, are only temporary. Okay? They're only temporary. Eventually, these individuals will die and the treasures will be taken from them. Bill Gates, at 66 years old, has a net worth 6 days ago of $131 billion. A nice chunk of change. If he lives to be 100, and let's just say his net worth becomes $200 billion, eventually he's going to die. And when he dies, his net worth will be zero. Yep. Literally. Because you can't take it with you. You know, years ago when Egypt's pharaohs were put in the tombs, they would put gold in with the tombs because they were expecting him to spend it in the afterlife. Well, since that time, people have broken into the tombs and some have robbed it. But you know what? The gold was still there. They didn't use it for what the individual thought they would use it for. It's truthfully, the only way you can take your assets with you is to send them on ahead. To give them away to the ministry of Christ for your safekeeping in heaven. I heard a story of a very wealthy man who left strict instructions with his lawyer that he was to put all his money in the casket with him. The lawyer left instructions to the son. And so after the burial, the son was asked by the lawyer, "Did you do as your dad instructed?" He said, "I sure did. I wrote him a check." See, earthly treasures are only temporary. The inheritance you received, if you received any, and the inheritance that you will leave to others is only temporary. However, there's an inheritance you receive as a child of the King that's eternal, that will not fade away, it will not tarnish, it won't be destroyed by fire. Listen to this passage of scripture in 1 Peter 1:3-5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You know what? You don't have to worry about somebody stealing your inheritance. You don't have to worry about losing it in probate. You don't have to worry about any of that because Scripture says that it's kept by the power of God. It's kept by the power of God. So do you feel like you have anything to worry about if your inheritance is in heaven? Who's going to take it? Nobody's going to take it because it's kept by the power of God. It's kept by the power of God. And there's no need, listen to me, there's no need for you to be envious of those with great wealth here on this earth. You don't need to be jealous of their fortunes because these are temporary treasures at best. They last only a moment. Let me just say this, and I want you to hear it. If you're a child of God, you have more stored up in heaven than Bill Gates has. And that he will ever have. So I'm just encouraging you, let's not keep our focus here on the treasures of earth, but let's put our focus on the eternal treasures that God has given to us. And we read about that in Scripture. So you have an inheritance. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have an inheritance. Eternal in the heavens. Okay. So all of you know what a last will and testament is, right? So there's an individual called the testator who usually goes before a lawyer, and they begin to sign up contracts about what the testator will leave their heirs after they're gone. It's called a last will and testament. Currently, the last will and testament is one document that's been combined as one document. There was a time when will and testament were two separate things. Let me just kind of read a little bit about this. It's a legal document that outlines a person's final wishes regarding the distribution of assets and property after death, and often some other matters such as the guardianship of minor children. In the 18th and 19th centuries, there were two separate documents containing instructions regarding the disposition of different types of property after the owner's death. A will traditionally included instructions regarding the real estate, whereas the testament gave instructions regarding other assets such as jewelry, such as cars, such as livestock, such as those kind of things. The two separate documents were used at the time because at that time, the law prohibited women from owning property. So women could not own property. So the will was documents relating to the distribution of property among males in the family, whereas the testament had to do with the distribution of other goods other than property, whether it's property, land property, or structures. Women could not own a home, per se. Now, it's a single document that includes the disposition of all properties that has been accumulated by this person. So, I share that with you today. Because if you have your Bibles, in your Bible, there's called an Old Testament and a New Testament. The Old Testament is like a will, a document. The New Testament is also like a will of a testator. The Old Testament, the old will and testament, you notice that there's just called a testament now because there's no distinction between male and female. There's no distinction between Greek and Hebrew or Jew or anything like that. It's just a testament. So in the Old Testament, God put together a will, a document, allowing the Israelites to become heirs of godly things. That does not mean others were not included, but those others had to conform to the document written to the Israelites. Okay? And so, therefore, this testament was written to the Israelites that they would inherit godly things throughout their generations. But did you know that there's sometimes that children become rebellious? And parents oftentimes say, because of the way you're acting, I don't want you to spend my money, your inheritance, on frivolous things like drugs and alcohol or whatever. So therefore, I'm cutting you out of the will, cutting you out of the testament. Okay, I mean, it goes on today. So it's kind of what God did with the Israelites. The Israelites were not following the prescribed doctrine that God had laid out for them. And God says, I'm going to cut you out of the will. I'm going to make a new testament. Did you know that a testator could change his will as often as they want to? They could change the testament 100 times if they wanted to. But once that person dies, there could not be another change to the will. And I don't care if you take them to court. I don't care what you do. As long as the testator is of sound mind, that document, a living will, and it cannot be changed. So God says, I'm going to make a new testament. I'm going to make a new will. And this is the will. And you see now, it was made before Jesus died. Jesus is the testator. Okay? And he made a document. He made a testament saying basically this: all of those, whether you're Jew, whether you're Greek, whether you're male, whether you're female, whether you are from Cambodia or Canada, whether you're from the United States or South America, whether you are from Brazil or whether you're from Nantucket, if you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are adopted. We talked about that last week. You are adopted into the family of God. You become an heir of Jesus Christ. You have an inheritance stored up for you in the heavens if you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Listen to this passage of Scripture in Matthew 25, and let's suppose that you are called into the lawyer's office to receive the inheritance that has been left you by God. And as you're in the lawyer's office, I mean, you're sitting on the edge of your seat. You're biting your fingernails. You're nervous. You're wondering, what is it that you have? What is it that you have? In Matthew chapter 25, Scripture says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations we gather before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Woo, man, doesn't that get you excited? Inherit everything that I have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. God's been working on your inheritance for a long, long time. Long time. And the lawyer is reading this document. That you are an heir of God's kingdom. Don't that just blow you away? Here's another passage, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, that's quite a list. But then he goes on to say, such were some of you. I once fell in that list. I'm not going to tell you which part of me is described here. But he says, such were some of you. So these individuals, Corinth was a messed up place. Really messed up. I don't have time to go into a lot of detail, but they had Corinth was 6 miles wide. Ships from the east would come and transport their goods into the eastern portion of Corinth, or eastern portion of Corinth, rather than sailing, which would take months around and navigate around the land portion that surrounded Corinth. They would just take their ship here, transport it 6 miles over by land to the western seaport, and then send their goods. Well, all of, Corinth was a tourist trap. And they had temples to every false god you can imagine. From Egypt, Rome, paganism, everywhere. So these world travelers would go to their temples and worship their gods. Many of these temples had male and female prostitutes in the temples. And here's the thing. Some of these individuals came to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This culture made up the church of Corinth. And the Lord said, this was some of you. But you're no longer that. Now you're a child of God. Now you're an heir of the heavenly kingdom. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. This were some of you. But you've been washed. You've been cleansed. You've been sanctified. Now you're an heir of heavenly things. Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes will inherit all things. Say all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. And you could add daughter to that. You're an heir of Jesus Christ, if you belong to him. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you belong to him. Here's the neat thing. The moment you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the moment you're adopted into his kingdom, the inheritance, the treasures awaiting in heaven becomes yours. The moment you receive Christ. Some of the treasures, listen, some of the treasures we don't have to wait for. When we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we automatically begin to receive some of the heavenly treasures that God has in store for us. One of those things is the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about that next week. Okay? Because there's something, when you talk about the Holy Spirit, there's just a container of stuff that becomes yours. We receive the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You have the fruit of the Spirit. Not only do you have the fruit of the Spirit, you also have the gifts of the Spirit that you did not have prior to receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You didn't have it. Those are just two of the things that are ours as an inheritor of Jesus Christ. I never experienced joy before I met Christ. Never experienced joy. You know, I had times of happiness, but there was just something always missing in my life. And only through meeting Christ have I experienced joy. Honestly, and you're the same way, you've never experienced the peace of God as one who serve the world. Only since you've come to know Christ have you experienced the peace of God in your life. On and on and on we could go. In closing, I want to ask you a few questions. Do you know that you are an heir of God? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have the inheritance that God has promised you in his testament? If you don't, before you leave today, you can have that assurance. The second thing I want to ask you is this. And this pertains to every one of us. What are you leaving your children? What are you leaving your children? Are you encouraging work and money over relationship with Christ? Are you encouraging pleasure and sports more than you are relationship with God? There's nothing wrong with these other things. I think it's very important that we have a good work ethic. I think it's very important that we begin that we are nurtured even in ways that only sports and pleasure can do so. Those things are gifts of God. But are they more important? And are you encouraging that in your children than you are a God connection? This may sound a little odd, but are you encouraging Bible memory, church attendance more than you are relationship? It's possible to encourage religion upon a person and them not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong with Bible memory and church attendance. I encourage that. But that's not where our hope is found. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. The Israelites had all the theory. They memorized large portions of Scripture, books of Scripture, not just a chapter, but books of Scripture. But they had no connection. They had no personal, ongoing relationship with their God. They didn't know how to pray. They didn't know how to commune with the Father in such a way that they could begin to receive answers from him. They didn't know how to follow the Spirit. They knew how to follow their doctrine. They knew how to follow their tradition. And they had religion, but no relationship. I want to ask you, do you have religion or do you have relationship? God is a personal God and he wants to connect with you in a personal way. He wants, Scripture says, the Spirit will guide us into all truth. And sometimes you have questions and it's okay to ask the Lord these questions and then wait for a response, wait for a reply. Because he wants to connect with you in that way. This morning, would you just bow your head, close your eyes? I want to ask some personal questions. If you're here this morning, and you don't know that you're an heir of God, but you would like to become an heir, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Okay. Thank you. I don't see anyone here. So I assume that all of you have relationship with Jesus. The second thing I want to ask you in this, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but are you giving more impetus to leaving your children worldly things or heavenly things? What are you leaving your family? What are you leaving your children? Father, I come before you today. And Lord, I just want to acknowledge that there was a time when I walked in the ways of the world, and I thank you that you've brought me out of that. Father, I thank you, too, that, Lord, I grew up a religious guy and didn't have much relationship, didn't have any relationship. Religion was my God, and I'm grateful that you've taught me how to have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that today, if there's anyone here, it's putting their emphasis on other things than their relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd reveal that to them. Lord, we have yet to see everything that you have deposited into our account. Lord, one day, as we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to read the letter. You're going to show us what our inheritance is. And so, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for what we have now. Thank you for what's coming. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. It's open. The altar's open for you. Let's stand together as we sing.
I need you more than yesterday. I need you, Lord. More than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you. I need you, Lord. yesterday I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than my next heartbeat, more time goes by, I'll be by your side, as I never want to go back to my old life.
I need you more
than yesterday. I need you,
more than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
I need you more ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you.
Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Yes, the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior.
Our visitors, I hope you come again. And I want to ask Dylan if you would to close us in prayer, please.
Amen.